The Trevor Carey Show on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
But just because someone's not going to tap you and write a citation doesn't mean you shouldn't do the right thing. We know better. We were taught better. And that's what our grandparents and parents taught us, just to respect others, even if we're not going to respect ourselves. And again, wearing a face covering is a sign of toughness. It's a sign of resolve. It's a sign of someone who gives a damn.
Oh, yeah, boy, he sure did. And his little happy birthday to you. I bet he was singing it louder than anybody would have spoken in tongues at a church that you can't get into. Right? He is a Republican National Committee man for California, Mr. Sean Steele. Mr. Steele, thank you for being on, sir. How are you?
Oh, gosh, never better. Having a great time, you know, searching for liberals and smashing their ideological seats.
So you're out there hunting around, finding some liberals to smash down their views. Their views, that's how we are. Now, sir,
got way too many.
We have something in common. You, high school chair for Reagan when he first ran for governor. He was the first politician when I was in high school. He was president in the, I graduated in 84. But, boy, there were a lot of us young conservatives then. Give us a little background on you, Mr. Steele.
Well, that's something that only very few people know, so we don't want to spread it around. But no, I consider myself literally a child of the conservative movement. I consider myself what's called a movement conservative. So I love conservatives of all type. But to me, it's been a lifetime project, literally, starting at at Van Nuys High School, and we carried the San Fernando Valley 49% for Barry Goldwater, and I learned to do a precinct walk, lots of walking. But I did the most in my life for my wife's election, and according to the Sidekick computer that we have in all of our iPhones in the campaign, I knocked on and engaged 1,078 households. So if you want to win, you got to get out there and talk to the base.
You got to pound the street. Social media only does so much. Eye contact's all we can have these days. That's all we can see are people's eyes.
Right.
Mr. Steele, explain what you do in your position as the Republican National Committee man for California. I know it has a lot to do with getting people elected.
Well, it's a lot of fun. The RNC is a body that's been around since Abraham Lincoln. It started in 1856. The structure is pretty straightforward. There's three people from every state, man and woman, a committee man, committee woman, and a state chair. That's it. So there's 168 members. That includes also, besides the 50 states, six territories, and people get a bonus if they can name those six territories, and they never can. But that's okay. I know what they are. And so it's so you could be from a small place like American Samoa with 50,000 American citizens, and they are American citizens, but they're not a state, nor do they want to become a state. But they have three members of the RNC, and California is a population of, 40 million. We also get three. So I have the honor of representing the largest conservative party on earth, the California Republican Party, with 5 million members. You know, we didn't have that 10 years ago. We've grown, but the Democrats are much, much bigger. But still, 5 million is a good number.
I'm telling you, we can just get that state of Jefferson formed. We'd be good, wouldn't we?
No, we need about six of them.
Six states of Jeffersons? Okay.
Yeah. Cut off L.A., cut off San Francisco, and life is good. And life would be much better.
Well, I tell you, probably a lot of people in L.A. and San Francisco would agree with you today. We've seen. Let me ask you, Mr. Steele, you mentioned Goldwater, Reagan, then we moved into Nixon, and then Reagan came along in the White House. And we've seen since then, and, the George W. Bush and all of that with, McCain and Romney, a real watering down of conservatism. Why is it? Why do Democrats... Why are they not afraid to be liberal, but some Republicans are afraid to campaign as diehard conservatives?
Well, no. Let's be fair. Let's not be too harsh. I mean, we supported John McCain, and we conservatives came out in a big way, and he came down with a watered down, barely conservative message and got his ass kicked, and it was embarrassing. It was a terrible candidate. And so we tried it again with the ultimate mushy moderate that we could find, and Mitt Romney. And I hope that the citizens in Utah understand what a treacherous human being this is. This guy stands for zero.
Mr. Steele, tell me how you really feel about Romney, please.
Well, he needs to go. So our motto is Mitt quit or quit Mitt. The man's going to be he's the one that the Democrats count on the most. And that's embarrassing. You never want to be given that title or being involved in that. So that's how it works. So Mitt Romney is one of the headaches that we have. So conservatives dutifully supported two losers, and they've learned you don't need to do that anymore. It's not profitable. Supporting losers just continues losing. Now Trump came along, broke every single rule known to man. He was not my first choice. I didn't know what he was. I didn't know what he was ideologically. I never saw him at a Reason Foundation dinner. I never saw him at Cato. I never saw him at the Heritage Foundation. None of that. And even when he got elected, I wasn't too sure. Then he started making some pretty good appointments. Betty DeVos and Elaine Chao. And he made some lousy appointments, with the Secretary of State and his chief of staff at one point. But ultimately, turned out to be one of the most successful conservative presidents in American history. And that's what makes a difference. He understood the importance of the courts. He never backed down. He had every reason for backing down, putting up Kavanaugh and all the nasty attacks that Kavanaugh got, but by standing firm with McConnell. McConnell's a hero, too. He's a great hero. And they got a lot of stuff done. So Trump has changed everything. It taught me, Sean Steele, that working class is our friend. It doesn't have to be just purely middle class folks. I consider our party middle class, not rich, not elite, not poor. But the working class is something Republicans aren't used to. And that has opened up a huge door to get us 73 million votes. And with the most withering the propaganda against that Trump is one of the one for the ages, and he still walks away with 73 million votes and helps us get the Senate and picks up seats for us in the House. He was pretty successful considering that everything was against him.
I mean, everything was. Now, Mr. Steele, do you think Republicans running in the future will see that success that this president has had and see that that's the secret ingredient, being as conservative as their opponents are liberal?
Yeah, I think you don't back down from the common values that Americans like. We like to have we like our police. Nobody's perfect. Police aren't perfect, but four of those police unions endorsed my wife Michelle Steele, who's now a congresswoman, knocking out a Democrat who claimed he was a moderate, but he voted with Pelosi literally 100% of the time. So even the moderate Democrats lie. there's no such thing as a moderate Democrat.
No,
not in the Senate, not in the House. Maybe down the street in the deli, but not in political position. And the other is that Trump also taught us that you don't have to duck and cover. You can state a position, be bold about it, and unless you're really made a terrible mistake, you don't have to apologize. We can find little nitpicking things that we can complain about, but by standing hard for principle with good people, and it took them 2 or 3 years to kind of sort out the mess in Washington, D.C., that's why he needed another four, to really have a good administration with highly motivated conservatives. But darn it, he's changed our party for the better. We don't have to be foreign policy interventionists. We want to talk. We don't talk down the people. We talk up the working class and the middle class. That's a powerful combination.
It is. My guest is Sean Steele, Republican National Committee man for California. Mr. Steele, I'm going to give you an opportunity here to give some hope to Republicans. Did I hear you say what? 5 million of us in California? Is that about right?
That's right.
All right, 5 million. And, there's a lot of them. I hear from them planning on digging up their roots. And, Mr. Steele, many of these roots go generations back. They want to U-Haul it to Idaho, Texas, Arizona. Not a lot of places to escape today. But what hope on the horizon?
Well, there's a lot. The other unsung thing that mainstream media was never doing, that's why none of us waste our time watching mainstream propaganda, and unless you enjoy this sort of thing, to me it's self-defeating. But more Latinos voted for Trump than anyone since Ronald Reagan. And then the toughest nut to crack is the African-American community, and Trump went after that community relentlessly and attracted a core following that we need to nurture and take care of. Look, I had the personal great honor of sitting down having dinner. I just came back from Washington. My wife's going through orientation, indoctrination from Pelosi right now. But Burgess Owens, who just grabbed a seat in Utah, and he's African-American, articulate. He's been working with troubled youth ever since he retired from the NFL. And then he comes over, and you know, we're taking pictures, and he takes off his Super Bowl ring and puts it on my finger, and you know, I got the best picture in town, right? That's the kind of guy he is. And so we have a different crop of politicians we've ever had before. I'll give you an example. We had the Spouses Caucus. You know, that's something they set up. And I go into the room, they're all guys. We elected a whole bunch of women. We elected more women, conservative women, smart women. Two of them that fled communism in Korea, and then one that fled communism in the Ukraine. So these three gals, including my wife, you know, really got along well. And so we have really smart, successful women. And then the guys, what are a bunch of guys going to do in Washington, D.C., you know, the spouses? So we went for a pub crawl. What are guys going to do? So it's a different dynamic. So I had a nice badge that said I was a spouse. I was a spouse of the congresswoman. Well, that's what it's going to take if we're going to expand our majority. Well, that's how we expanded it.
You know what Republicans are saying now? That women belong in the House.
Well, they did it. By the way, nobody recruited them. Nobody came and said, hey, Michelle, you got to run. No, it was organic. Michelle had been elected to several positions and was a well-known tax cutter. And so so the seat came open. It was pretty obvious. Her supervisorial seat was two-thirds of the district. Most of these other women that got elected were obvious. It wasn't like, oh, let's find a woman that checks off this box, that box, and make a difference. So they ran tough campaigns, mostly against men, mostly against, you know, white males that the Democrats put up, and beat them. And so it's a new Congress, and Pelosi is going to have so much problems. Oh, my God. She's only got to have a majority of about six, and her caucus is a mess, and it's in chaos.
Well, congratulations to your wife as well, and you have iPhone proof of spousal support, don't you?
I certainly
do. You were walking those blocks, I can tell you that much. Now, you just returned from D.C. Don't you have to wait 2 weeks to make a phone call?
Not at all.
No, okay.
Especially our friends on friendly radio stations. No, I tell you, the best therapy Michelle and I got, she walked a lot. She walked a tremendous, every time I did, she did. And it was therapy. I got to talk to Republicans who've been shut in their home, who was grateful to have somebody knock on their door. Now, most of our walkers are young kids, you know, because of COVID. They had plenty of time there, and they wanted to do something useful, and they get credit. We set up an internship program. And having a nice young kid knock on their door, a Republican, and first of all, the people inside the house, you kids are Republican? And they loved it. And so we had a heck of a ground game, and I found it wonderful just talking to our people on a regular basis. And there's so much pent up energy, and it came through. It. Remember how we used to lose elections, 2 years ago at the last minute? Well, especially those provisional votes. Well, we had provisional votes, but we found out that over those that registered on the election day to vote, usually that's a Democrat thing, right? You know, registering to vote on election day, and that's a new law the Democrats put together. So we got 70% of those votes. These were Trump voters that had never voted before, didn't know how to register, and they just showed up on election day and said, hey, where's my ballot?
We'll take the procrastinators.
And they were counting on voting. In other words, they didn't know what the rules were. They just knew they had to show up.
Yeah. Well, you know, Mr. Steele, you're talking about all those people that were out working and walking around and the satisfaction you got back from hearing from people. We had a program here called the Power Talk Precinct President Program where we got out and learned a ballot harvest. And three of our precinct presidents that signed up, just people that were just at home and said, I want to get involved. The Republican Party's now hired them to go back and fight in Georgia until January. So,
we sent a bunch of our best to Georgia. Georgia too.
Isn't that good?
These kids that have never been to Georgia in their lives.
Oh, I had to tell them how go on and get you what you want you meant, because I'm from Tennessee, so I had to give them a little Southern language talking.
No, that's good. A little, something about pecans too, and so
pecan, that, pecan that, pie, pecan pie.
I knew it. Yeah, love it. Most delicious food in the world. So they were sent 100 miles, I guess, between Atlanta and the coast. I mean, a part of the country I've never have imagined ever being to, but they get to go there knocking on doors, talking to folks, and these were our stars. I didn't know you got some from your area.
Oh,
too.
We got and stars way, down here too, man.
Well, yeah, listen, my name is Sean Steele, not Mr. Steele. No, nobody calls me Mr. Steele. So let's make it Sean Steele. I'm just a humble, unpaid, never been paid a dime in politics in my life. I'm not a consultant. I'm a volunteer. I've been that way my entire life. And that's why I'm the committee man. So it's a volunteer job, but it's a $1 billion corporation. And we're going to keep those Trump voters engaged. We are not walking away from them. They are the backbone of our new party. And we're going to grow from there. And we're not turning our backs on them.
My friend Sean, thank you for the confidence. And we're going to keep fighting, sir. Thank you so much. Hey, let's talk again real soon.
We got a country to save. Thank you.
And we got a state to save. We got a town to save. We're going to be under curfew. Mr. Sean Steele there. Valadao Cox, where do we stand on the never-ending race? I got some numbers next.
Trevor Carey. Power Talk 96.7, AM 1400, and the iHeartRadio app.